Jesus said, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life?" Where are we investing our time, talent, and treasure? I'm Brian Patrick. We continue our series on the thought-provoking sayings of Jesus. Wise investments, this time on Crossing the Goal. We're kicking off our show on wise investments, looking at the words that Jesus said in Scripture that really get us to think. Let's meet our Crossing the Goal team again. Vice President of Renewal Ministries, Peter Herbeck. From Focus, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, the founder and president, Curtis Martin. And former NFL All-Pro wide receiver and NFL coach, Danny Abramowitz. And in this profit-driven world, Peter, these words of Jesus don't seem to make sense, but they're very wise.
Yeah, they are. They're the most practical words from the wisest man who ever lived. It's amazing. The words come in the context of the call that Jesus gives to discipleship. And he tells people to lose your life, to take up your cross and all that. And they might be backing away. So, wait a minute here. He said, what I'm offering you is an incredibly good investment. Why would you give your life to things that will pass away when I'm offering you eternity, eternal life, and the satisfaction of everything that's deep in your heart?
And this is important for us to hear, because in reality, the world, whether it's advertising or our own drives or whatever it is, we are constantly desiring things that are less than us.
Yeah.
And we can choose those things, but we have to recognize when we spend our life that way, we make a horrible investment. Because if you get all of the wealth and all of the fame and all of the honor and all the glory and all the earthly success, and you die without God and you go to hell, you're an absolute failure. And many people are caught up in this, and we have to recognize this is an essential call from Jesus Christ to the way we ought to live at the most fundamental level.
Well, that's a good point. Think about this out here, guys, and all of us. The amount of time that we invest in temporal things. What about wealth, financial security? We're all worried about that, continuously worrying about that. Getting to the top, we want power and the titles. If we can get there, we'll be satisfied. Be liked by everyone. I want to be popular. Then accomplishments. We want awards, don't we? Coming our way, and notoriety. And there's nothing wrong with the drive to this, but it becomes consuming with us. And upon death, guess how fast they forget? They forget about us quickly, and the other stuff is gone. Whereas the spiritual thing that lasts forever, we need to ask ourselves, which one's the wisest investment? I think the spiritual.
Definitely need a game plan for wise investments. We're going to go to our financial advisors on this one. It's Peter and Curtis with the game plan next on Crossing the Goal.
We're back, and we're in the game plan, where Peter and I are going to break this down. I'm Curtis Martin, this is Peter Herbeck, and we're looking at Jesus' call to make wise investments. And particularly we're talking about discipleship. Yeah. And we've looked at a passage from Jesus' teachings that flows from Matthew 16. Why don't you set this up so we understand the context?
Well, first of all, as we've been talking about this, no one is more in touch with reality than Jesus. A lot of times you can think that spiritual teaching is it's mystical, it's esoteric, it's out there somewhere. It's not real world stuff, it's not that real world applicable. Well, this is the most practical, wisest thing maybe anybody's ever said about how to make a good choice, how to calculate, how to be a success. And so Jesus gives us this principle in the context of the call to discipleship. Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any man would come after me, anyone would come after me, let him do three things. Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And this is where he goes on to say, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life?
No, and you almost see it. Imagine this. You've got a retirement account. You're going to invest in it. But here's the problem. I know when you retire, there will be nothing in it because it's evaporating as fast as you can put into it. How much time and energy do you want to invest into that retirement account? And what Jesus is saying, I actually have my eyes on eternity.
Yeah.
And really, it's all that matters. All the worldly success, none of it matters in light of eternity.
Yeah.
The best day on earth doesn't compare with the worst day in eternity. Yeah. And so to have this sense of this is where you put your gold, guys, put all of your time, all of your energy into me. And how do you do that? Well, you deny yourself. Yeah. You take up your cross and you follow me. So let's kind of walk through. How do we do that?
So deny yourself means essentially what Jesus is saying is to give over to him. That thing we have within ourselves that insists on our own way. My will be done, my ideas, what I want is the most important thing. Jesus said, if you want to find life, if you want to gain what the deeper part of your heart wants, you got to put that to death. So deny that, and then now you turn to God and begin to take your cues from God and let him lead you into the life that's going to produce what he's promising. So deny yourself. Take up your cross means I'm willing to do it at any cost. There's no limit. So Jesus is really saying, what I'm calling you to is a no-limit commitment to follow me in this. If that's where your heart is, if that's what you want, I will bring you to the gold. I will bring you to eternal life. But it's going to require that. And then lastly, follow me, that you take your cues from me. So that's the bottom line.
And I think sometimes when I read this, I think other people, they read it, and it's kind of like, look, we're at the gambling table in Vegas, and he's saying, bet the house.
Yeah.
But that's not what's going on. There's no gamble at all here. Yeah. This is a sure deal. In other words, whatever you put into this will yield unbelievable returns. Yeah. So put everything you have into it. There's nothing, no simple desire that I have that I shouldn't deny. Yeah. If it's leading me away from him, how do I know that? Well, I'm going to pick up that cross and be ready. Everything's on the table.
Yeah.
Every part of my life. And how am I going to know which choices to make? I will follow you, Lord.
And what makes it so practical is he said there's really only two outcomes in life. There's an outcome that's going to lead to everything that you have in this world is going to pass away. Jesus said, I'm telling you, it's going to pass away. And if you cling to those things, you're going to pass away and you're going to inherit the destiny of those things. The other option is to follow me because I'm going through death to eternal life. I'm going someplace no one else has ever gone. I've come to offer it to the whole world. I've come to offer it to every single person. If you turn your heart to me, I will give you what only I possess, which is eternal life.
And this is, like you said, not only is the offer for everybody, but the other is also for everybody.
Yeah.
Jesus is coming back.
Yeah.
And he's coming back incrementally, day by day, for those who pass away. But he's also coming back at the end of history for everybody. And he has his eye on that. And he's saying, choose, because there's only two choices. There's no middle ground here. You can have earthly success and lose me, and you will have lost everything. Yeah. But if you were willing to sacrifice anything that I asked you in this life to gain that, I promise you, this is what I'm here to give you. This is why I'm here, and I'll be the first. I will deny myself. I will pick up my cross. I am following my Father's will wherever he leads me. He sets an example, not just teaching us.
And he's saying, look, I want to teach you how to be a wise investor. I don't want you to be stupid. I want you to be wise. That's why he gives parables like the pearl of great price. The guy who found this great pearl, owned this field, or saw this field, said, found the pearl, said, I'm going to take all of what I have, all my money, all my possessions, and I'm going to buy the field because I want the pearl. And he said, it's worth it. The value of that thing is worth it. So Jesus said, that's exactly what we ought to do when we calculate this invitation to become his disciple. He's offering us the pearl of great price, himself, eternal life with him, and as the apostles say, a share in his glory forever.
And the part that's so important for us as men is to realize that this is an invitation that leads us into a pilgrimage. We need to not just hear the invitation, acknowledge the invitation, we need to embrace it and then day to day, in a manly way, choose to exercise discipleship through our stumbles, through our falls, because he is faithful through it all.
Amen.
Brian.
Thanks, Curtis. Peter, very convincing, Coach, but I don't know, would you trust your investments to those two?
I think I would. Probably 50 cents, 75 cents.
Seriously, we're talking about the real investment in eternal life. We're going to discuss it more in the Red Zone next on Crossing the Goal. We're in the red zone now on Crossing the Goal. This time we're looking at wise investments as we discuss the sayings of Jesus in the Bible that are really thought-provoking. And Curtis, this one about, you know, whoever wants to save his life must lose it. It just goes against human nature almost.
Well, it is. There are certain things that Jesus tells us that are reminders of things we already know. And then there are things that he tells us that we would never guess. And this is one of those things we would just never guess. We're busy in life collecting stuff, right, and we're trying to do a good job. And we play by the rules, we guess that. He says, no, playing by the rules is really important. But what he says is, this is all a shell game. It's like playing Monopoly. The real game is how you follow me. And if you didn't know that, you'd actually think this life was what it's all about. And it isn't. And that's such an amazing pulling back the curtain and letting us be really unveil what the reality is all about. This is key for us.
Oh, I think he says gaining the world. What good is it to gain the world? And what he means is not you can't prosper, you can't be successful, you can't do these things. And by the way, before I go any further, I was so deeply moved by did you notice what Danny said up there? That he would take his entire bank account, 50 cents,
and share it
with us. Danny, that is such a sign of trust.
Guys, I mean,
all that
guys,
years of all that saving, and you give it to us. I mean, that's really,
I'm open to
that's moving,
you,
it's touching.
You know, I'm trying to do the right thing
for
you guys.
He promised revenge, Danny. That was his futile attempt at it.
I tried. But anyway, the gaining the world, and Jesus is talking about, there's a system here, the scripture talks about the world that ignores God, that puts secondary things first, that puts tertiary things first. And he says, if you get caught up in that, and you start serving that, and you pursue those goals, and you look for all the trophies everybody else says you're supposed to have, and do all the things that the world says you're supposed to have instead of what I tell you is most important, you're going to lose it all. You will lose it all. You've got to put me first, right?
I can attest to that. You know, doing this series, I really reflected on this and thought about it, because I, in my early life, in the professional football, I had wealth, you know, I had success, I had popularity, I had a lot of these things, and it gave me sort of happiness, you know, fleeting here and there and down and up and down like a yo-yo.
Yeah.
But then when I really realized that I really don't have true peace in my heart, and then the Lord sort of was calling me closer to him, because I was doing, most of my time was spent on those things. But then when I changed my life, I was pursuing Christ. He was the number one priority. Because he says, Danny, there's nothing wrong with those things, but I have to be first. The love of those things, you love those things. Love me first, I'll provide all these other things. And when that happened, you know, I have ups and downs, and I still worry sometimes about various things financially, or about this, or my kids, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Am I going to leave them? What's going on, and all that kind of business? But I stay focused on the Lord. I stay calm, and I am at peace with most of the things in my life.
Mm-hmm. So we're not really saying that we have to drop everything.
No.
You know, we got to go to work. We got to take care of our families, and we do that, but we put God first. Because I'm sure there's plenty of guys out there that are thinking, well, I can't just, you know, spend all my day in adoration or reading the Bible.
But
that's not what we're talking about here.
Right. You know, another thing is, what people are saying, well, wealth and all that. Well, the church would have never made it without wealthy people. Wealthy people donated, and that's how our church grew and a lot of your ministry.
Right, but it was wealthy people willing to get rid of their wealth.
Exactly.
They gave it away.
Sure. Yeah.
And I would say we aren't talking about the specific call that you, Brian, have to give up everything.
Right.
We are the call that says you, Brian, need to be prepared to give up whatever I ask of you.
Exactly.
You know, Jim Elliot, who was killed in his attempt to do mission work in South America, had this beautiful statement. He said, he is no fool who will give up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Mm. And I think that's the reality. We should look at our life and say, it's an exchange. Does this job, does this jet ski, does this whatever it is, and it could be, could this really noble thing I'm doing, does this help me be a disciple of Christ, or does it not? And if it doesn't, I should let it go, because these are all things of the world. And they can be used if God wants me to, but they need to be let go if he asks me to.
Yeah, because they belong, we know that everything ultimately belongs to him. And that you have the pearl already. I mean, you have the thing, which is your relationship with Christ, which is your ticket, to put it in simple terms, to the ultimate fulfillment of your life. And you know that. And you're in his hands. And so you'd say, I'm safe. I'm secure. I'm with God. So I don't have to desperately cling to anything. I don't have to cling to my gold, because the gold is the ticket to my freedom, to my power, to my happiness, to my influence, to whatever. I can give it away if he wants it. I just am not going to let go of him. I'll let go of other things if he asks me to, but him, I'm clinging to with everything I got, because that's my way home.
Exactly. To me, some of the most powerful witness in the world is people that are successful, whether it be in sports or business or whatever field it is, that you know that they're wealthy or whatever they are, whatever field they're in, but they're also in love with Christ, and you can tell that everything that they do is centered around Christ. Yeah, they are good business people or whatever, good athletes, but they also proclaim Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That to me is a powerful witness that sees that they put Christ before all their things. That this is important, because you know, like your ministry, you have a lot of people that's you're responsible for.
Yeah, this is not the show on anxiety. This is
No, I don't. No, but I mean, you do have a lot of responsibility. I mean, you
Absolutely.
Know, and you're making all that money. Don't know.
I mean, yeah, I'm all, but a couple more years, I'll have the 50 cents you have.
Yeah. But I really do think that people that are wise in investments, and then wise in investments in their spiritual life too, pays dividends.
Yeah.
Well, you've told us the story before about the financial advisor that you and Claudia met with that encouraged you to, you know, to give first before savings. And I've had that conversation with my financial advisor when he says, you know, we probably ought to do this and this. And I've always said, I never want to put savings ahead of giving. And he totally agrees with that. So when we give out of the kindness of our heart, we open up our hearts. A lot of the people that you talk about that have money, that are wealthy, I'm not one of them, by the way, but they're successful because they're willing to, you know, do it the Lord's way instead.
And God will not be outdone in generosity.
Never.
It's a beautiful, with time, with money, whatever it might be, your talents, your skills, God will not be outdone in generosity. And so to live in that dynamic with a Lord who desires to bless us, it's almost like we divest ourselves of things, give stuff up, and he fills our hands back up.
Oh, yeah,
I got more
exactly,
than I give you.
Exactly.
And it's a wonderful way to live.
And it's that we talk to the word prophet, but part of what Jesus is saying is not just talking about money.
Right.
He's saying if you gain the world, like the favor of the world, or
right.
I'm going to behave in a certain way because I know it's going to get me into that circle of people, or I'm going to get admiration from those people, or you know what I mean? I'm going to become important
popular
in some way.
Yeah,
same kind of thing. Jesus said the temptation in us is to think that those things are going to satisfy us, and we're afraid that we can't live without them happily, so we keep pursuing them. We kind of become slaves to them. And Jesus said, if that's what you're clinging to in the end, guess what?
Yeah.
You got nothing,
because
it's all passing away.
And what's happening, most people are led by what the secular world says.
Yeah.
If you have money, if you have power, if you have this, if you have that, then you'll be successful. Everyone will like you. This is what will make you happy. This is where your true happiness is. And you find out, no, this really isn't where it's at. It's with what Christ tells us.
Well, I think we'd be very key there that it's not money that Jesus is essentially talking about.
Right.
We think about money because it's the thing, the good that we don't have. Most of us don't have it. But there are people on earth who have a lot of money, and they're not satisfied. They're still looking for honor and fame or power,
and
whatever
influence,
it is.
Yeah.
Those are much deeper ones that can never be satisfied. But most of us think about money first. We're thinking, well, money is how I would get those things. And Jesus is saying, don't even play that game.
Right.
Everything you want to be loved and acknowledged and honored, that's what I want to do for you. Me, the Son of God, hanging on the cross for you, how is that not the greatest honor you could ever have? I'm willing to die for you, and I'm God.
Yeah. And what are we really seeking? I found that for me, it's peace.
Yes.
And peace that only the Lord can give, not the world. We're going to get the last word on wise investments from the End Zone next on Crossing the Goal, and dig into our email bag. We hope you can stay with us. We've reached the end zone in our program on wise investments as we continue the series on the things that Jesus said that make us really think. Before we get to the last word on wise investments, we'll go to our email bag. Jeffrey is a new Catholic, was a former Protestant minister, and he says, one of the things that I'm really enjoying about Catholicism is the real presence. He says, it just makes sense that if or since Jesus' life, humanity, divinity, sacrificial death, burial and resurrection was real, why should his memorial feast be any different?
Yeah, we agree.
Yeah,
totally agree.
That's well put too.
Absolutely. But yeah, if you start thinking of, if Christ did suffer, died, buried, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven just for us to go one time a week or not at all, don't even believe it's a real presence. If you just think about it, why wouldn't we want to receive Christ as much as possible? And that's what we, I think, all of us try to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got another email from a non-Catholic. He says, his name is Royal. He says, I've enjoyed your program. I'm not Catholic. I'm Baptist. I live in a retirement home. We stress the small group. We love it.
We do too. And we highly recommend going to our website, crossingthegoal.com, press on workout groups, and you can find out how to get it started in your home or in your parishes.
And you know, brothers, we don't want to just recommend it. We want to challenge you. This is a time in the life of the church in our country right now where men need to rise up together. I want to challenge you to just go ahead and build small groups. Build them in your parish. Build them in your neighborhood to strengthen the local church so the local church can fulfill its ministry.
And if you are using our Crossing the Goal resources for your small group, I know when we travel, we get feedback from a lot of guys that say, hey, we're using your DVDs and the workbooks. We'd like to hear from you. Send us an email through crossingthegoal.com. Let's look now at the last word on wise investments. Peter?
Thanks, Brian. Brothers, we have one life to live. Invest it well. We've been given direct inside knowledge, inside trader tips from the one who knows exactly how to get the gold, exactly how to complete your life for it to be everything that it was meant to be. Listen to the words of the Lord, and you'll be with him in glory forever.
You know, one of the steps of wisdom is to begin with the end in mind. And if we look at the book of Revelation, last book in the Bible, we see the end. It says, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, everyone who pierced him, and all tribes on earth will wail on account of him. This is real. At the end, Jesus is coming in a very real historical manifestation. He'll be here. And those who've missed this wisdom that we talked about today will be wailing. They'll be shrieking in horror. I can't believe I had this life and I lived it poorly. But you have the opportunity to live it well because you hear the words and he's called you to discipleship to be able to choose wisely. Do so.
And to follow up to that, you know, if you start thinking about the temporal things, there's nothing wrong with it. But I think the problem is the amount of time and the love that we have to accomplish these things and gather these things. Spend more time and really in the spiritual end of your life, like prayer, mass, scriptures, and watch how you get the peace of in your heart changes totally. It'll change your life totally. Try it, guys.
Thanks, Coach Curtis and Peter. And as Curtis said, this is real. We just talked a moment ago about the real presence. Picture yourself face to face with Jesus, and he says, so, who do you say that I am? That was the question he posed to his disciples, and we're going to discuss that next time on Who is Jesus? Here on Crossing the Goal.